Then I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. But kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It's time for another edition of the sports page. Heidi, I think I should re-record that and make sure we put women in there as well.
Can you? Do it. Go sing it. Yeah. I like it.
Well, it's time for the sports page. I have, gentlemen, you can see here, I have a plethora of chicken scratch to talk about, and I'm sure you do as well. Didn't seem like it was a big sports week, but I've been taking a lot of notes. Good morning, Fred and Kyle.
Good morning, Jack. Good morning, Heidi. Good morning, Kyle.
So let's first of all talk about something that's significant but insignificant. And Fred, maybe you can help us out since you were there when the Phillies won it 5-4. they're going to de-juice the baseball. So back in the day, I want to know who made baseballs. Is it the same company that's made baseballs forever? And did they change it, juice it just for money and publicity for the game of baseball?
Right. Baseballs were originally made by Spalding. Spalding was owned by a former pitcher in the 1800s. They've made balls forever, and the factories changed. And the owners got really frightened after the 1968 season, when nobody was hitting. The batting champions had averages of 304 and 308. That was the year that Bob Gibson and Don Drysdale went 7 weeks without giving up a run. Think what I just said. And so they says, we got to do something. They lowered the mound from 12 inches to 6 inches. They hardened the baseballs. Then the owners kept saying, we'll make more money if there's more home runs. Eventually that devolved into harder baseballs. Next thing you know, we had juicing contests between McGuire and Sosa, who could hit more phony home runs. And then this, 2 years ago, heavens forbid, a small market team set the record for most home runs, the Twins. And Yankee Stadium built a new stadium with even a shorter right field porch. Now they're going to think maybe too many home runs, and they're going to soften them a little. We will see.
I don't know about you, gentlemen, but during the Sosa-McGuire thing, I got involved. I got excited. Never gave it any thought about the juicing and the, you know, everything that happens because of that. You know, neither of them are going to be in the Hall of Fame probably. And it's just interesting to talk about baseballs. Basketball, you got the same damn basketball. Of course, you didn't back in 30s and things like that. And baseball bats probably have gone through the loaded stage too. You don't see that anymore where the umpire comes out and looks at the cork and remember
No. those? No, you don't see that anymore. So, though, you know, but we'll see. They say, I've taken the tour of the Louisville Slugger Museum.
Yeah, I have too.
And they say, right in their presentation, baseball's number one fear is that a bat boy or a player on deck gets stabbed by a splinter. They actually have a lab that measures oak versus maple, as you know.
Yeah.
And I was at the College World Series in 98 when a kid named Albert Bell hit a ball to a line drive to the third baseman. The third baseman didn't have time to raise his glove.
Oh.
And the ball went by his ear. We now have two states, North Dakota and Montana, where metal bats are outlawed in American Legion in high school. So where this is going is unclear. But velocity off the bat is a big feature.
So, Kyle, must be what an adjustment it must be, and an adjustment for scouts to recruit a college player who's been using a metal bat and just knocks the snot out of the ball, and is it real? And I don't know how they correlate that, but what do you think?
I don't know the details of it. There's an old scout, Angelo Giuliani, who used to spend time in the summer half a mile from where I grew up. He became friends with my dad, and I remember talking to him a little bit when I was young, and they talked about how they would look for how often a high school or a college kid barreled up the ball. How you know, you can tell from the sound, you can tell from the way the ball jumps, and you can tell if it's a college guy who's strong enough to be able to, you know, hit it in on the hands or off the end of a aluminum bat and just muscle it into the outfield and get a hit and make the stats look good, or if it's somebody who's really good at squaring one up. And I doubt that that's changed much in the past 30 or 35 years, that they still watch for who's really, really good at getting the sweet spot of the bat on the middle of the ball and hitting the ball hard.
So I'm making a note here. So let's talk about the Twins. Doesn't sound like they're going to sign Odorizzi because they've spent everything they're going to spend, Fred?
Yeah, I don't think they are either. I read that article I think my attitude is you can never have enough pitching. It's just my attitude, right? The more, the better. And, of course, playoff baseball is all about, do you have three starters? Got it? You know?
Yeah.
The other trouble is the statistics, sabermetrics gurus today, people Kyle's age, they're for pulling starters a lot sooner, John, than you or I or our seniors correspondent would ever pull a starter. And let's be blunt about it. Manager Cash of Tampa Bay, they lost the World Series because they pulled their starter too soon. We talked about that in late
November,
as all four of us remember.
My big concern is that the Twins are going to end up with a pitching rotation, starting pitching anyway, that's going to work just fine during the regular season and is not at all built for the playoffs. And if you see the teams that are successful in the postseason, they've got power arms, they've got guys in the bullpen and in the rotation that can miss bats, and it's not a bunch of guys who can, over the course of a long season, give up three runs and six innings, and you win enough games to make the postseason. But when you're playing against the cream of the crop and you give up three runs and six innings, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
Right.
They either need Jose Barrios to finally become what everybody hoped he could be and you know, hope that one of their other projects works out, or they need to make another big signing. Otherwise, we're going to be right where we've always been the last, you know, two of the last 3 years, an entertaining regular season and a flame out in the first round of the playoffs.
Okay, let's move on to basketball because I have to touch base. And I know it's none of my business, and I know there's certain people that are going to get mad, but the Timberwolves are horrible. D'Angelo Russell is all of a sudden hurt. He's got something wrong. And I think him and Towns have played together for five games. And I wonder how Oscar Robertson and Bob Lanier and those guys feel about, you know, an achy calf or a lower body injury. But Towns played last night, and he had some big comments after the game about the NBA has still decided to go on with their All-Star game, and they want players to play with a mask. And Towns just said, that's just absolutely wrong. I hope, because of what he's been through, he hasn't been fined. And then you look at the Minnesota State High School League. They had the parents, I'm assuming it was, had a lawsuit that, you know, they wanted now to remove the mask. And the judge said, I'm going to make a quick decision. And his decision was, we ain't taking the masks off.
Exactly. He says that, he decided that in about 2 minutes. So, yeah, this is basketball will be the only one of the four sports that's having an All-Star game. I think it's an unnecessary risk.
Oh.
It's all a TV contract deal. I just don't see the point of it.
Fred? Kyle, I mean?
It almost feels, because the pandemic has dragged on for about a year now, that the headlines just don't hit some folks the way they used to, and people just want to get back to life as normal. But honestly, it's as bad now as it's ever been. And I think that gets lost on a lot of people who just want things to be normal again. And at the rate things are going, in about a week, we're going to hit the 500,000 mark for lives lost because of coronavirus. 500,000 people. And I think it's silly to have an exhibition game.
That means nothing.
The NBA, where, you know, there's no defense played. It's basically, you know, it's lower quality ball than open gym at the Y. And there's just, there's no upside to it. There's no upside to it. When you're in a pandemic, job number one is get out of the pandemic.
Ask the NHL how they're doing. When they played in their bubble, they didn't have one case. And now the Wild have 12. Just yeah, like that.
There you go.
Just like
there, 2 days. You said it all, John.
Yeah, just the NHL is not going to finish, I don't think. It's crazy. I think there are three teams now that are out. So if they have to make up those games, they're going to just be playing them bang, 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 or going to make the season end in August this year. Heidi, on an extremely positive note, have you been able to watch your old friend's Babysitter or whatever you, Paige?
No, but I keep seeing her headlines.
Oh, my gosh, the Paige. How do you say, Beckers?
Yeah.
For UConn, she's a freak. Absolute unbelievable. 3 games in a row. Excuse me, showing 30 more points, making assists, looking like she's a crafty veteran. My goodness. Now, Fred, I don't know what the precedent is, but do you think that she will jump to the WNBA or she'll go 4 years, 2 years? I don't know how it works with women's basketball.
That's a good question. I don't know what the rule is either with the WNBA. And you also don't know, is it important to her or really important that she win a championship? Remember, she didn't get to win a high school championship last year because the league canceled the season in the middle of the playoffs. So I don't happen to know. Do you happen to know, Heidi, can they go pro like the men can in the mid-career? Do you happen to know what the rule is that?
I don't know what the rule is, but knowing Paige's family, she's going to stay in college.
Yeah.
Love it. And I'll say this. I've seen her twice this year on TV.
Yeah.
And here's what goes through my mind. How can you be a fresh woman?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How can you be 1 year out of Hopkins High School?
Is she 18 or 19?
18.
18 yeah. years old to have that many skills.
I mean, 18. I mean, I know this is a comparison, a gender comparison, but that's okay. All right.
Yep.
She's got Kobe Bryant level skills. I'm talking about people that are 18 years old.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant or Moses Malone, right? People that went right from high school into that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Good.
About the history of UConn women's basketball, right? One of the two flagship programs in the country, them and Tennessee, probably.
Yep.
No UConn player has ever scored 30 points in a game, 3 games in a row before Paige Buchers did it as a freshman.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, not beating up on cupcakes or people at the bottom of the conference. This most recent one,
South Carolina,
was the number one team in the country.
Yeah.
In South Carolina, and she scored, I think, the last 13 points of the game to will UConn to a win in overtime. So she's doing it against the best.
I want to share this question. You know, the other day when Tampa won the Super Bowl, they says Brady won world championships in 3 decades, right? And they said, who else has won a championship in 3 decades? And the answer was just awesome. And Heidi, this is right up your alley. One of my favorite players ever, Sue Bird.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And remember, not only did she win championships in 3 decades, she won championships in the States in 3 decades, then went over to Russia and won championships in 3 decades in Europe. She played 2 seasons a year for way over 20 years. I mean, I don't know of a basketball player in history that's more underrated than Sue Bird.
And she's an analyst, and she's so fun to listen to. Oh, my gosh.
She is excellent.
She is excellent. Okay, I want to talk about 2 more things before we get to trivia. Yoshiro Mori, the president of the Olympic Committee, got booted or resigned or fired because of his conversations about women. He said, women talk too much. And he said, women are, driven by strong sense of rivalry. So did he get fired or did he resign?
I think he got fired. You guys know where I stand on the Olympics. Yeah. And they've had a long history of bums running the Olympic Committee, run by 35 years with top five Mount Rushmore evil people in history, Avery Brundage. Don't ever forget Avery Brundage from the Chicago suburbs, who his closest friend on earth was, Adolf Hitler.
Oh, my God.
And you can look it up.
Okay, that's a rough one. Now let's talk about nepotism, and let's talk about the hiring of minorities in football. Eric Bieniemy, for whatever reason, unless he can't open his mouth in an interview or whatever, but he didn't get a job again. He's been passed many, many times. And yet the Minnesota Vikings hire Mr. Kubiak's son, who's never called a play in his life.
Ridiculous.
And Zimmer's son also moved up somewhere as defensive coordinator, some crazy thing like that. How does that happen? I mean, I understand nepotism. I hired my son, but I hired my son for $4 an hour. We're talking about people's lives. Bieniemy's got to be a brilliant. He's the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think he just got one interview.
Completely wrong. Part of it's race, and part of it's just nepotism. Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune had a column the other day. There are 66 assistant coaches in the NFL who are blood relatives of general managers or coaches.
Wow.
66. It's an absolute disgrace. It's just recycling the same people.
Yeah.
I heard when you paid your kid $4 an hour, that was more than ICC paid you.
It did. It is. Oh, yeah, for sure. I think I made 22 cents an hour. All right, Heidi, hit us with the senior correspondent. Scott, Kyle and I'll just put it on mute.
No, we're going to give John and Kyle the first crack at this. The questions are about baseball on Broadway. The song "Whatever Lola Wants" is from what Broadway musical?
Don't know. Whatever Lola Wants, Lola Gets, obviously, but I have no idea.
Kyle?
No idea.
Fred?
Damn Yankees.
Exactly. Oh, it's a story about a guy who sells his soul to the devil to become a slugger to help the Washington Senators win the American League pennant.
What's Lola got to do with it?
She's Satan's right-hand girl.
Oh,
right-hand.
Okay. All right.
Okay, this is the next question. In Damn Yankees, it's about a guy who sells his soul to the devil to become a slugger to help the Washington Senators win the American League pennant. Who is Lola trying to seduce in the song?
Fred, help us out.
Joe from Kokomo. Oh.
There we go. What is Joe Hardy's hometown?
Is it in Kokomo, Indiana?
Nope.
Dubuque. I don't know.
Hannibal, Missouri.
Hannibal Mole. That's it.
Yep. Jeez. Yep. Hannibal Mole.
Home of Mark Twain.
Iron Rangers, Bob McDonald, and Kevin McHale are two of the six new inductees into the Minnesota Sports Hall of Fame this year. There are only two members of the Hall of Fame that were journalists and media personalities. One is Sid Hartman. Who is the other?
Ray Christensen.
It's just my guess. Go ahead, Kyle.
Fred, I'm drawing a blank.
Oh. My first guess is Halsey Hall.
That's what I was going to say. Is it Halsey?
It's Halsey Hall. Right? Yep. He was a sports reporter announcer in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area from 1919 to the 70s, one of Herb Kerneil's sidekicks.
Okay, oh, my gosh.
The Twins had two managers in their first season in Minnesota in 1961. Who were they?
Cal Irmer?
Nope.
Fred's kind of partial hand. He doesn't want to be called on. I think
I'll go. Cookie Lavagetto is one of them.
Yes, Cookie Lavagetto.
Maybe Sam Mealy?
Yep.
Oh, Sam Mealy.
Cookie was fired and replaced by Sam. What former Minneapolis Millers and Twins manager was the first manager of the Los Angeles Angels expansion team in 1961?
Oh, my God.
Kyle, he's leaving you out, isn't he?
I can be taking a nap here.
I know.
I am.
Oh, former Miller. I don't know. Gene Mock. I don't know.
Bill Rigney.
Oh, Bill Rigney.
From 1901 to 1950, Connie Mack managed the Philadelphia Athletics for 50 straight years. From 1902 to 1932, John McGraw managed the New York Giants for 31 straight years. What former St. Paul Saints manager had the third longest continuous tenure with the one team as a major league manager?
I was going to say Veek, but that's not, can't be Vec or whatever. No, I don't know. I have no.
Oh, boy, that's hard. Several guesses.
Kyle?
La Russa. Joe McCarthy.
Nope.
Give me the initials.
W-A.
W-A. Nope, don't know.
Walter Alston.
I had that. I got to be more
vocal. Oh, that's great.
What major league manager led the same team for 25 seasons between 1978 and 2010, including 21 straight years?
That sounds like La Russa to me.
No, I don't know.
Joe Torre.
Lasorda?
Cox.
Cox.
Oh.
Yep.
Cox.
Did we lose Kyle?
No, we're still
okay,
here.
Okay.
What team did Bobby Cox manage for four seasons between his two stints with the Braves?
I think Toronto.
Yeah, yep. I think that's right. Yeah.
There we go. Good. Sorry, Kyle.
Well, it's okay. It's nice to just bask in Fred's encyclopedic knowledge some days. I'm always impressed.
Hey, if it's unimportant, I know it, Kyle.
Halsey. Do you remember the Halsey Hall story where he's up in the booth and he's got a cigar and the cigar lights up the ticker tape and the booth is on fire? And I'm sure he had a couple of toddies that morning or afternoon. I can still see him, the dribble coming off that dog turd. Ooh.
Hey, before we forget, I'm going to tell everybody to go watch a movie. It's for adults. It's a heck of a movie. Best movie I've seen this year. It's about boxing, football, civil rights, race, sex. It's on Amazon Prime. See it.
What is it?
A Night in Miami. It's right after.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
It's a heck of a film, everybody. It's right after Clay beats Liston, and he goes to a hotel room and has a conversation with the great Sam Cooke, the great Jim Brown, Malcolm X. And, of course, the next morning, Clay changes his name to Muhammad Ali. See that movie.
It's a movie you watch where no matter if you're with three people or two people, you're completely silent.
Totally agree. It's not a popcorn movie, folks.
It isn't. Yeah, it's a good one. All right. Whew, that was a lot of work. Kyle, you did good. You're looking good. Fred, you're ridiculously smart. Heidi, you too. And I just sit here.
Does Kyle get paid by Blandon on how many questions he gets right?
I think it's like Christmas.
I'll see if I can work it into negotiations, although it wouldn't have done me any good today.
hire me as your agent.
That's the sports page on KBXE. Thanks, you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.